Community. Community is one of the things that is innate in the heart of God. It's part of who He is. You know, we talk about God being love, and He is love. Amen? The Bible says God is love. Oh, that's pretty good. There we go. But God is also community. If you remember, back in Genesis, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the idea of God being community. When He created Adam and Eve, it said that it was not good that man would be alone. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It is not good for man to be alone. And this is before any sin comes into planet Earth. No, there is. Adam and Eve have not sinned. They are perfect in harmony with God. Sin has not ruptured their relationship. They are in perfect harmony. Adam is in perfect harmony with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's no problems. Everything is perfect. But yet God says it is not good for man to be alone. Because he is lonely. He has no one in community to be with. You have to have someone with you in community to be community. And because God is community, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, from all eternity they've existed. They are community. They are one. And it's out of that oneness He wants to create Eve for Adam so that they would share in community. In the very heart of creating the church, Jesus said in John 17, He said, Father, I just pray, not for the disciples alone, but I pray for all those who would believe in Me through their word, that they would be one as We are one. And today I want to take a deeper look at what that oneness looks like through this story called Roof Crashers. Excuse me if I don't say roof. I can't say that. I don't. Call me ignorant if you want to. I'm not ignorant, but if you want to call me that, I say roof. I don't know why. Roof, like a dog goes roof. I know it's roof. I can change. Please excuse me if I don't say roof. I can say it. It's just, you know, conditioning. You know, habits are hard to break sometimes. And it's not, particularly it's not one that I've really challenged to break. Okay? But we share community in certain levels and in certain ways. One of them is what we believe, what we value and what we believe. For example, my computer's way over here. Let me just bring this over here so I can see it. The Bible, the Holy Bible. You have yours with you today. Is it important to you to have the Bible? Is it a compass, a moral guide, an inspiring light for your life? See, these are things that help bring us into community because we share those values. In fact, the Bible says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against You. See, it's powerful, isn't it? The word of God is powerful. These are things that bring us into community like values and beliefs. Another example would be the cross. I just love that picture. And that picture was on the Kids Worship Corner activity cards for quite a while. You have a different picture now, don't you? Oh, by the way, what are the three words I want the kids to listen to today? Roof. I said it. Roof. Jesus, and Matt. Okay? Alright. The cross is something that really brings us all together in a very real and dynamic way. I love what Ellen White says in the book, Acts of the Apostles. She says this, without the cross, man could have no union with the Father. On it depends our every hope. From it shines the light of the Savior's love. Amen? And when at the foot of the cross the sinner looks upon the one who died to save him, ladies too, he may rejoice with fullness of joy. For his sins are pardoned. Hallelujah. She goes on. The cross is a powerful community item, community dynamic for you and I. When we come under the shadow of the cross, the light of the cross, kneeling in faith at the cross, he has reached the highest place to which man can attain. At the cross binds us together. And when you and I, separately or collectively, kneel at the foot of the cross and look at the cross in faith, trusting in what God has done, we are all in a place where we cannot be any higher. That is powerful. And that is part of what community brings to you and me, when we share that together. See, at the cross, the ground is level, amen, for you and me. That's a powerful dynamic. These things bring us into community in a very powerful way as we share them. But also what brings us into community is this dynamic of growing together. I love this picture. Who said that? No. I love this picture. Because this picture just kind of gives me a vision of the church working together, what we can accomplish as we grow together. In God's heart of community, folks, listen. In God's heart of community, He has a vision, an aspiration for the church that is far greater than we could ever really even grasp. And today we're just going to get a glimpse of it. And maybe see how community is built. But working together, we can accomplish a lot of things for God's kingdom. We can impact a lot of lives for eternity that I could never do by myself. And part of growing and becoming mature in Christ is not just knowing the Bible better, which is, amen, important to do. It's not just coming to church, amen, important to do. But when you're truly growing and becoming more mature, you're becoming more like Christ, you will have more of a desire, more of a passion to share Christ with others. That is one of the most powerful indicators of your spiritual growth. That scares us a little bit, doesn't it? No? Good. I'm glad that doesn't scare you. But sometimes some big people, it scares us. It scares us. I just like that picture. I'm going to take a zoom in look at it here. Pow! Look at that. They could never carry that cord, two or three of them together, but all of them together can carry that cord and plug it in to the power source, which of course is the Holy Spirit. Amen? I just love that picture. It's about growing together. But you know what? What happens when we try to work together, we have to get closer. And you know what? We're sometimes afraid of getting closer. Remember? Someone might see my as-is tag. Do you remember that? And so we talked about how do we get closer without getting hurt? And that's the dilemma porcupines have. Isn't that cute? Three porcupine babies. Chili emailed me though. She said, I thought you'd like this with your sermon about the porcupines. Well, the as-is sermon, remember? The porcupine has a dilemma. Remember, once a year, the female likes to go out to dinner and a movie. And they have to learn how to keep their burrs, their quills rather. The word was slipping my mind. The quills and their little barbs, those microscopic things on the end of their quills, to themselves. And they managed to do it. I just love that picture. There is a famous porcupine. What's the famous porcupine's name? Oh, okay. I stand corrected. I've never heard of him, but the young people have a famous porcupine now. How many young people have heard of that? Well, it's not too famous. But this thing called community, you do have to get closer. But part of getting closer is trusting each other. Part of getting closer is saying, you know what? I'm okay here. I'm safe here. People can get to know me and still love me here. And that's very important to developing community, as we're going to see. But not only is it important, you know, about this thing called as is getting closer, serving is very important. But before I get to that, I took this little quote right out of your bulletin. If you take your bulletin for me, please. It says right there, friends helping friends become fully devoted followers of Christ. Fully devoted followers of Christ. And today, I want to focus on a very important part of this vision statement. How many of you knew this vision statement? Amen. That's great. I want to focus on a very important part of this vision statement. You know what part I want to focus on? No. Friends helping friends. You know, that is so powerful. Friends helping friends. It's been said that if you have close friends, you are very rich. That means if you don't have close friends, you might be very poor, though you might be rich. Confused looks on your faces? I don't know. But friends helping friends. I love that. I think that is so perfect. I think that's so new community. I think it's so New Testament, first church, first century community church. Because I read in Acts chapter 2, what does it say? That they met together daily for fellowship, for Bible study, for worship. Daily they met together. Man, if I came here daily, no one would show up. We just don't do that. You know? It's true, we live in a different time. And I'm not saying we have to meet every day to be community. But what I'm saying is, it takes time to build community. You can't microwave friendships. Yeah, you know, microwave them, you know, cook them up real fast. You can't do, how many of you can microwave a marriage relationship? It takes time to microwave. It takes time. It takes time to develop relationships, especially marriages. Am I right? Now, community and friendships cannot be microwaved. It takes time. And so, I really want to focus on friends helping friends. Open your Bible to our scripture reading in Mark chapter 2. You see, it takes not just growing together spiritually, which is imperative for developing community, but also community is built by serving together, serving others. One of the most important teachings Jesus gave to His disciples in that upper room when He washed their feet is serving each other. This is not an option. What shoes you wore today might have been an option. But building community, it has to be done God's way. And it's the only way it can happen. And I want to tell you, God wants us to be that community. Serving builds community. Growing together builds community. And I think this is a wonderful snapshot in Mark chapter 2, what community looks like. And I've never seen this passage before in that light. But I want you to see it today. It is my strong conviction and my hope that we will see community. We will see church community in a new light. Not a totally different light, but building on what we already know. Amen? Let's go to Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And then what I like to do is kind of use a little bit of sanctified imagination. Is that okay? Is that all right? A little bit of sanctified imagination, but we're going to still do our best, amen, to stay true to the text. Amen? Amen. Amen. How many times have I said Jesus yet? I haven't said Jesus yet? Twice, okay. Man, if I didn't say Jesus by now, shame on me. Got to say it once. Okay, I said it 5 times. Okay, how about roof? Okay, I didn't say Matt yet, did I? Now I did. All right, you guys are having too much fun. Be quiet now. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I love it. I love it. Verse 1, and again he entered Capernaum. And of course he is Jesus after some days. And it was heard that he was in the house. I'd like to just read it with you again and go back through it, okay? Verse 2, immediately many gathered together so that there was no room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic, who was carried by 4 men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof. I said it. Where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, this is just an incredible story, a snapshot of what community is. Now, what was it like? What is it like for a paralytic today, living? What is it like, Rick? You live in? Can you wheel yourself around in a wheelchair? A paralytic, paraplegic. Yeah, they have those things sometimes. Look, today they can probably get around a little bit, huh? Can they get out of their wheelchair? Okay, maybe sometimes they can. Depending upon how bad they are. This guy in the story, how paraplegic was he? How bad was he? He had to be carried on a mat. Right? You know, how about eating? You pretty much have to be fed, don't you? If you can't use your arms and your hands. If you cannot use your arms and your hands, that's what I mean by this, by being paralyzed. Can you feed yourself? It's pretty difficult. Isn't it? Okay. How about washing yourself? What happens when you soil yourself? In other words, this guy is totally dependent on others for help to live and exist. His world was confined to a 3x6 mat. That's all he knew. That's it. And you're talking about first century. Medicine wasn't very good. Am I right? He didn't have if he had the opportunity to use his mouth, probably could. He could probably speak. He couldn't. He didn't have a wheelchair with a special device to wheel him around. Didn't exist then. This guy's world was totally dependent. Guess what? His as-is tag was shown to everybody. His weakness everyone was aware of it. This guy couldn't hide his mat. He couldn't hide his as-is tag because everyone saw it. See, oftentimes, you and I, we try to do mat management. You know what I mean by that? We try to portray that we have no weaknesses. We have no frailties or faults. We kind of do mat management by not letting anyone see our weaknesses
or our shortcomings, because, after all, I'm really good. And see, a lot of us can be successful at hiding our mat, but the problem with that is you're not getting close to people and you're not really experiencing community. So you see, this guy was totally at the mercy of his friends, these four guys who bring him to see Jesus. Totally at the mercy. And you know what? When they went to pick him up in the morning, or that day, afternoon, whenever it was, they had to pick him up. You know, they had to literally pick him up and bring him. And you know what? They heard about Jesus. The text said they heard that Jesus was in town, and they said, you know what? We better go get Tom. Can I call him Tom? I told you we're going to use a little sanctified imagination today. Can we call him Tom? We just know he's a paralytic. We're just going to put Tom in there for us, okay? Now, maybe Tom asked his friends to bring him. I don't know. Actually, Ellen White says there was a suggestion that he made to his friends to bring him. And there's another suggestion he makes. But you know what? Listen, whatever the case may be, these guys had to go pick him up and bring him. They didn't go by themselves. They didn't say, let's go to see Jesus by ourselves. No, let's make sure we bring Tom, because Tom is our friend. And what friends do, friends are committed to people's well-being, to their friends' well-being, and to the most important part of their well-being. Listen to me. This is a really important point I want to make. Real friends, true friends, care about their friend's soul. Care about their friend's eternity. Care about their friend's character and where they're going and their relationship with God. Not just that they're happy, have all their physical needs met, but real true friends, born again friends, let's say, especially Christian friends, amen, care most about their eternity, their soul, their relationship with God. And I think these four friends epitomize that. They didn't go see Jesus for themselves. They went for Him. How do I know that? Because they're not even named. They never say a word. They are totally in it for Him, for Tom, their friend, the paralytic. And it is awesome, because I think in this snapshot of these roof crashers, these mat carriers, you see a snapshot of what God's heart is for His people to be in community. Friends helping friends. Friends helping friends to be fully devoted followers of Christ. That's exactly what these four guys were doing. Let's pick up the story. You notice in verse 4, and when they could not come near Him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where He was. I said roof. I did it. I'm good. Roof. Oh, yeah, it's roof. Okay. See, I did it. Yeah, I knew I was going to do it. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Listen, whose idea was it to bring this guy up the stairs and behind the house? Probably a lot of houses had patios on their roof. They were so rough, see? Patios on their roof. I said it. Gotta get my flow here. Can't hold. Whose idea was it? Tom's idea. Perhaps the manager of the group might have said, hey guys, here we are. We're so close, but we can't get in to see Jesus. We can't get our friend Tom to see Jesus. What are we going to do? Anyone have an idea? Perhaps they had a brainstorming idea. And you know what? Brainstorming, there are no bad ideas in a brainstorming session. Am I right? No bad ideas. But whoever said, let's put a hole in the roof, that might not have gone over so well. Any other ideas? Well, they couldn't come up with any ideas. And Tom might have said, bring me up there. And so they had to bring him up and get rope to lower him down. But they first had an obstacle, and it's called the roof. Amen? And what do? They start peeling it back, peeling it apart. Because friends helping friends will do whatever it takes to bring a friend to Christ and be a fully devoted follower of Christ. No, that's what friends do, because friends are committed to each other. They care for their soul. They care for their life. They care for where they're going to spend eternity. That's what friends do. And Tom's friends also cared about his physical health as well. Didn't they? Probably. You know, living in a world 3x6 is no fun. Now, can you picture Jesus teaching? Ellen White says this is Peter's house. Pretty cool, huh? That's what she says. She says it's Peter's house. Listen, what was it like to hear Jesus teach? Pretty awesome, right? Everyone said when they talk about his teaching style, it was with authority and very impressive, right? So, in the house, what was happening? People were listening to Jesus because Jesus was preaching the Word, the Bible says. So they're all listening to Jesus. Is it quiet? Probably most likely quiet. Everyone's listening because Jesus has their attention. Then all of a sudden, can we use a little sanctified imagination? All of a sudden, these reeds and dust and mud particles start to fall. Cracks in the roof. Now, I don't know, you know, if Peter thought, you know, who's going to take care of this bill? It's called Allstate, or Farmers Insurance or whatever, thinking, you know, I'm going to get a skylight in my house today. You know, I don't know if that's what happened. But or if he said, Jesus here, could this be you know what they call an event that, you know, a natural event? What do they call it? An act of God, exactly. People were saying, could I call my insurance agency and say it's the act of God so my insurance would cover the bill? I told you I'm using a little sanctified imagination here. No, they don't cover the act of God. That's right. That is the problem. So they're taking the roof apart. Things are falling down. And they start looking up to see what's going on. And then what happens? These guys peel an opening in the roof. Had to be fairly large enough to get this guy through. And they couldn't put him down vertically, probably. So here they are. And that's why I have this picture of it. Take a look at this one a little close up. Here they are, bringing him down to meet Jesus, to experience healing. And I want you to pick up what Jesus says in verse 5. This is phenomenal. Verse 5, chapter 2, Mark chapter 2. When Jesus saw their faith, what did Jesus see? He saw their faith. He saw their faith, and he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." When Jesus looked up, he didn't hear their faith, he saw their faith. Well, he heard it too, but he saw it. It's at the Bible. Right? He didn't see the paralytic's faith necessarily all by itself. He saw all of them collectively, their faith. You see, when he looked up and saw that they were willing to do whatever it took to bring their friend to see him and to meet him, it was a snapshot of what community is all about. You see, serving will build community. Roof crashers will build great community. Let me say that again. Serving will build community in our church, but roof crashers will build great community because it's intensified, because it's bigger. You know what? I can only imagine what would it be like to be in a community of faith where a lot of people are roof crashers. pipe dream, isn't it? It's just a pipe dream. It's just nothing that could really ever happen. Well, you know what? It will never happen if we don't work for it to happen. Good marriages don't fall into them accidentally. Even when marriages start out really good, they're real happy, and you know, they say God blessed us and we're just so happy together. Problems happen down the road, living together, rubbing elbows. You know what I mean? They have to work at the relationship. It will always take work in making good marriages. It takes work in raising children, doesn't it? You can't microwave that stuff. It takes a lot of work to build community in the church. But I want to suggest to you, the better and the more we build community, the more heaven on earth we will have. What Jesus saw, when he saw their faith, I think personally, he just said, you know what? This is exactly what I'm hoping for more people would catch. That they bring their friends to me. Who else in that whole place brought their friends? Everyone in that house were teachers and leaders in the church, but they didn't bring a single friend to meet Jesus. These four guys did. That speaks volumes of what community is about. Caring for people's souls. Caring for their lives. That's paramount. And it's not optional in building community. And that's something we have to grow into. You know, becoming a disciple of Jesus is not just doing the things Jesus did. It's wanting to do the things Jesus did. Amen? It's not just doing them. It's wanting to do them. It's thinking His thoughts, feeling His feelings. Being a fully devoted follower of Christ means wanting to do that stuff that Jesus did. And Jesus said, greater things you're going to do than what I did. Wow. Building community is not hard. It's not easy. It's very hard. It takes time. It takes energy. And finally, this last slide. I want you to see this guy is on his mat. Here he is in front of Jesus. Look at the hands. The rope. And here he is. Now, this is an artistic, you know, depiction of what it was like. You know, it doesn't really matter. The point is, they brought him to Jesus and they were successful. These guys will never, ever forget what happened that day. What God did. What Jesus did. What did he say? Sons, you're be forgiven. Let's go back to the story. You know, and people were kind of, mumbling and groaning. How's Jesus, what authority does he have to forgive sins and stuff like that, right? And then Jesus, verse 9 says, which is easier to say? I'm in Mark chapter 2, verse 9. Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power or authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And look what happens. Immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. And I want to tell you, God, Jesus Christ honored their commitment for their friend in a very big way. Because this guy had atrophied. When you're laying in a mat 3x6 for your whole life, you don't have very much muscle tone. So not only was this guy have the strength to stand up again, he had some muscle. Not only did Christ's word forgive his sin and give this guy the ability to stand and move, it put muscle on his bones. And this guy left, carrying his mat, and he was never the same. nor were his friends. That little small group, so to speak. Those five guys, Tom the paralytic, and those four guys who brought him to see Jesus. They will never forget that day. It'll be a mountaintop experience for all eternity for them. And I want to suggest to you and me that that kind of snapshot of community is exactly what God has in His heart for His church. Because He is community. And that is a precious picture of community. So community is built by having the same values, sharing beliefs, and growing together, but it's built also by serving. You really can't get around that. Remember, servants built community, roof crashers built great community. I love that. I'll settle for good community, though. Amen? Yep, I would. I'd settle for good, just a great community. I mean, just a good community. But I certainly would love to strive for a great community. Friends helping friends to be fully devoted followers of Christ. Wow. I just think that is so powerful. So powerful. Friends helping friends. I don't know. How do you feel about the sanctified imagination today? Fairly true to the text still? What do you think? Amen. How do you feel about community? Do you feel it's something in God's heart that He wants us to experience? Is it a nice idea? Or is it something we should pursue? Well, I would like to think that the leadership in this church, when they wrote that vision statement, had a vision for the future of what the church ought to be. What we ought to be growing towards. And a vision, a good vision, is a great picture that we can hold in our minds about the church in the future, but it also empowers us with a passion to achieve it. That's what good vision does. Good vision always does those two things. It'll inspire us, it'll motivate us, and it creates a great picture of what God wants to do in and through us, what He wants us to be. And I think this little story of roof crashers is a great snapshot of that. I want to be like these guys. I want to love like these guys love their friend Tom. Father in heaven, we want to praise You and thank You for the snapshot of community, these roof crashers. These guys who would do whatever it took to get their friend to see Jesus. We thank You for that. And when Jesus, You looked up and You saw their faith, You honored them in a big way. And I would pray, Lord, that You would help us to have that kind of faith, that kind of love for others, that we would truly care for their souls. So please, put it in our hearts to be roof crashers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.